from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban 3 fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck can pull a truck, hook him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to Springsteen.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know.
Where mama at?
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Little Ohio players start out the show. A love roller coaster. I like it. A video feed into the studio there in Miami, and Solana and Jimmy are just like looking around on the floor. It's the weirdest way to start the show. What did you guys lose?
My phone.
I mean, the whole show has come to a halt. We come out of the box. We're excited. We're going to talk, and it's just you and Jimmy on the ground, like you're panning for gold.
Here's the thing. You know, like with the Apple, do you have an Apple Watch, Hawk?
Apple Watch? No, I don't wear a watch.
Huh.
That's stupid. Watches are so stupid.
Good take. So I can like buzz my phone. If I lose it, I could buzz it. Let me see if you can hear this. So on my Apple Watch. You hear that, right? You hear the little dial tone?
Right. Yeah.
All right. So it's in here, but I mean, we cannot find it anywhere.
I found it.
You found it? Did you check inside your body cavities?
Jimmy, what was that doing in your pants? Sorry, Hawk. I genuinely did not mean to intervene like that. I apologize. That's on me.
So you wear a watch specifically to be able to find your phone if you lose it?
So I've noticed the only reason this watch serves any purpose for me is to find my phone. And 99% of the time,
just ding it, because you could just ding find my iPhone.
Right, but I need my phone to do that.
Yeah, or a friend. Like, hey, ding my iPhone. Isn't Valentina on your phone family?
No. She wants. We've reached that point in the relationship now. She wants to have my location on all
the time. Of
course.
Yeah, you guys are engaged.
No. Absolutely not. That's not happening. No.
Jimmy, will you allow me to put you on find my iPhone just so I know where you are at all times?
Never.
Never, really? You have secrets, Jimmy? Something to hide?
No, I don't. I just...
All right, well, it sounds like you do.
No, I don't.
I mean, if you had nothing to hide, you'd be like, yeah, sure. I'll let you know where I am at all times. We have a lot to get to on today's program. Crowder's supposed to join us from Houston, I believe. I believe he's in Houston doing something for the Pivot. Josh Appel is going to join us. We'll talk some football with him. Brace yourselves, Miami. Ben Volen is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. He kind of picked a fight again with Dolphins fans. Did you see what he did? You know, this whole Tua Brian Flores Levitard show situation. Volen took the unpopular Miami opinion of like, hey, Flo really wasn't that wrong. And he's a better coach than Mike McDaniel. Like Volen can lean into that heel role well. Here's what I think, though, in all honesty. People always go, why do you have him on? He doesn't cover the NFL very well for the Boston Globe. And just because he doesn't fawn all over the Dolphins doesn't mean that I don't enjoy talking football with him.
I love Ben Volen. And by the way, I don't think his take on Flores is as outlandish as Dolphins fans are kind of making it out to seem. Because even Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel had a similar take.
Kind of backed off it, though. He kind of backtracked.
He did backtrack because of, I believe, just like the anger he got via social media. I do think Mike McDaniel's a better coach. I want to get that out of the way. But the way we felt, I remember doing the show, the way we felt the day Brian Flores was fired was
shock. Shock and awe. But now that we have the context behind it, didn't get along with Chris Greer, wouldn't play the game, essentially, that Stephen Ross wanted him to play, and was an impediment to Tua's success, like, he absolutely should have been fired.
Agreed 100%. Yep. I just think right now it's easy for Dolphins fans to say, he was a terrible coach, he was the worst thing that ever happened, he's one of the worst head coaches of all time.
I think what we do now is say, he was bad for Tua.
Yes.
And bad to Tua. And now Tua has confirmed that. But here's what I think. I think Ben Volen just approaches it in a different way than we do because he covered Bill Belichick for years. Bill Belichick treated people that way. So it wasn't that shocking to Ben Volen because he had experienced that for years covering the Patriots. And obviously we know Brian Flores was a disciple of that. So if you look at, you know, Bill Belichick's text history, I bet he's told plenty of football players they suck. But this was a different situation because it was our guy. We liked him better than Brian Flores. And it almost seems now, in hindsight, that Brian Flores was almost actively working against Tua's success. And I find that unconscionable from a head coach, and Flo kind of apologized for it, you know, saying that certainly wasn't my intention.
With all that being said, Ben Volen was astronomically wrong about Mac Jones being better than Tua Tagovailoa, which he doubled down on this show several times, and he needs to answer for those crimes, Hawk. He needs to answer for them.
Unquestionably. I'm with you.
So I expect you to put him on trial today. I'll sit back and watch.
I will give him the third degree. Guy's going to get grilled. Did you write a few questions for Volen, Jimmy?
No, I did it.
All right. What do we do? What are we doing with you? You prep for any of the guests or anything? How often are we using you in our show prep, per se? What's your average? Like, what'd you do today to make the show better, Jimmy? You know, in advance of the show.
Not much.
Not much. Okay.
Probably get the music.
Right. Okay. There you go. Yeah. You don't want to answer, you know, to the guy who's in charge. Well, not much. Like, come up with something, you know, it's like The Office, you know, you moved over 1 billion units of inventory and he was just talking about pieces of paper. Yeah. Come up with something. Yeah. What do you normally do on a given day? Like, what time do you start thinking about this show?
Well, when I leave the studio and when I wake up.
There you go. See, that's a good answer. So really, you're thinking about the show at all times.
Yes.
And how it can be better.
10 times better.
All right. All right. Well, let's start with 1 times better. Let's just get 1 time better, and then we'll just take gradual steps. Just saying. What time do you start thinking about the show, Salah?
What time I get in today, Jimmy? Like 1:58? Yeah, right around there. 1:58.
Anyway, you got NFL football tonight, preseason, of course, and then the Dolphins have their final preseason game tomorrow in Tampa. Let me read you this, and this will be our training camp report. There's really no training camp anymore, but it's sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. Are you ready to level up your career game? MDCPS Technical Colleges have got you covered. Choose from tons of programs, learn from top-notch certified instructors, and get real-world experience. And the best part, you can graduate debt-free in just 1 to 2 years. You ready to make the move? Log on to careerinayear.com or call 305-558-8000. MDCPS Technical Colleges, your best choice for a brighter future. Here is what David Fiorones wrote in the Sun Sentinel about the Dolphins' backup quarterback situation. Because I think that's really the only juicy narrative. Like, okay, is the offensive line going to be good? But that's not juicy.
It's the only thing that can be decided tomorrow. Because offensive line...
You're 100% right. Not only can it be decided tomorrow, it will be decided tomorrow.
Correct.
If it hasn't already been decided.
Offensive line, I mean, Isaiah Wynn hasn't been healthy, so like you just don't know. Is Aaron Brewer going to be back by week one? You don't know. I mean, there's so many different machinations that go into it. Health is kind of the looming question around all these position battles. I guess like Jeff Wilson Jr., is he going to make the team? My guess would be yes. Like there's some small battles that we can point to and say who will make the cut, who won't. But as far as like, battle on the line come tomorrow when you snap that pigskin. It's the backup quarterback battle. It's the only one.
This is what David Fiorones writes. It's time for the Miami Dolphins backup quarterbacks, Mike White and Skylar Thompson, to settle who wins the number two role in 2024. Wednesday's joint practice with the Buccaneers marks the end of training camp practices. What's left is Friday's preseason finale against those Buccaneers, and that will serve as the final statement for each in the battle to be the backup for starter Tua Tagovailoa. It was a rematch of the 2023 training camp, which was a competition Mike White won. With Tua healthy all season, White was his backup every week. Thompson was relegated to the emergency number three quarterback, inactive in all 18 games, including the playoff loss. The competition was reopened ahead of this season. David Fiorones writes, we felt there's two guys that know the offense. This is Mike McDaniel speaking, and have shown they're capable of executing, and I don't need to see them throw to wide open receivers. He said, I need to see them handle things to earn the respect and regard of their teammates by the way they handle things and find ways to do positive things for their job in the midst of turmoil. Tua had a big day of work Wednesday at the Buccaneers training facility with Thompson and White splitting backup reps. McDaniel said some starters will play in Friday's preseason game, but it doesn't seem Tua will need any more action in the finale. McDaniel has tested White by consistently putting him behind Thompson in the first two exhibitions. In the preseason opener against the Falcons, Thompson started, White got the second half. When Tua got a series against the Washington Commanders Saturday, Thompson was the first backup. White wrapped up the night. Mike White speaks on it in this column here by David Fiorones. Thompson says he feels he has indeed grown in his third NFL season. He was drafted in the seventh round of 2022, blah, blah, blah. Neither Thompson nor White are making Friday's preseason game more than it needs to be. Skyler says, I'm approaching it just like I have the last two games. It's no different. It's what's next. Whatever's at stake for the day, I'm going to attack the day and win the day, whatever that day consists of. I'm just making the most of your opportunities and being a great teammate on top of all that. Mike White said, if you start thinking one practice is more important than the other or one week is more important than the other, you start to get out of your mental state. You start to worry about the wrong things, and then it starts to show on the field. No, I'm going to approach this thing the same way I've approached it from day one out there. I'm just doing my job, just go through my reads, do my footwork, and all that good stuff that we talk about and just play ball. And then David Furonis writes at the end here, one reason Skylar Thompson has gotten the reps with the second team ahead of White is to switch up the team's routine. It affords coaches a chance to see Thompson in that light as opposed to how he normally handles the scout team in season. And then finally, if the Dolphins ultimately choose Skylar Thompson as Tua's backup, making White the third quarterback, the team may consider the $3.5 million it stands to save toward the salary cap by releasing Mike White. So, you know, I think they're pretty even so far. Again, I would lean towards Mike White just based on experience, but there's also the financial ramifications of, you know, $3.5 million to save against the salary cap. So
it's what I kind of initially took as, well, what are we doing here? Like, if Mike White hasn't been able to beat out Skylar Thompson and he's making $3.5 million per year, and Skylar Thompson's making significantly less, and the Dolphins could use some upgrades, especially in the offensive line. There's some other areas of concern as well. Like, what are we doing? Why are we spinning our wheels here?
Well, maybe he has beat him out.
Maybe.
We just don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he has beat him out in Mike McDaniel's mind.
But based on everything we've read from all the reporters who are out there every single day, Joe Schad, Adam Beasley, Omar Kelly, all those guys, David Furones, I mean, he has not performed well during practices. He has not performed better than Skylar Thompson during practices, and he sure as hell didn't perform better in the two preseason games that we saw or gave you any indication that he's won the battle comfortably. So, again, I'm not telling you I think it's going to be Skylar over Mike White, and I don't even know for sure who's the better option. I don't know. Like, to me, they're both just backup quarterbacks. But if you could save $3.5 million by moving on from a guy that couldn't beat out Skylar Thompson for the backup quarterback job,
well,
when he already had it?
He did beat him out last year. He beat him out last season. They've had one backup QB battle, and he beat him out last season. So he's the incumbent.
He is the incumbent, but year two within this offense, like, shouldn't you have a better grasp of it already? Shouldn't you be the guy that they brought you in?
You don't know that he doesn't. That's what I'm saying. You don't know that he doesn't.
Yeah,
Mike McDaniel has been coy the whole time. Like, Mike McDaniel could be saying in the coaches' meetings, yeah, Mike White's head and shoulders above Skylar Thompson right now, but let's, you know, continue to give him both play because we'd love to have Skylar as the third quarterback. You just don't know. All right, let's get headlines here for the 2 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana, who's wearing some sort of orange jersey t-shirt thing.
Yeah, this is a jersey, Hawk. Correct. And it's not orange, it's red.
Looks like an orange t-shirt jersey thing.
You should probably get your eyes checked, abuelo, because this is this
perhaps
is clearly
you should stop
red.
Washing your colors with whites.
My team, Nacional, plays a big game today versus Sao Paulo in the Copa Libertadores, second leg. Round of 16 action. Need a
Why is everything
tonight.
A big game? Everything's a big game. It's like every day is, oh, my team plays a big game. Oh, this is a big game. Why? How's everything a big game?
Well, you must not have listened to Zaz a lot when he did big game or not a big game. I mean, this is a big game, Hawk.
But not everything was a big game. That was the whole point of that game.
Big game tonight. Round of 16, yeah, second leg.
Your radio benchmark would have just been big game because there's never not a big game.
Big game. Big game by the Marlins last night. They did lose, though.
That lost. Shirt's not red, by the way.
This shirt, I mean, this is, you look up red,
mm-mm.
And this is the color that comes up.
No. Jimmy, is that shirt red?
Yes, it is.
Jimmy, is that shirt red?
It is red. I'm not colorblind.
Jimmy. I see red because your on-air light goes red. That's red. That shirt's orange. You bought one of those. You bought one of those flea market jerseys,
bro. This jersey's authentic. Club Nacional de Football. Somebody texted in. I hate when Solana starts overpronouncing everything. You're right, bro. I apologize. Anyways, Copa Libertadores tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
El Esta Decano. Noche.
Esta noche somos mantequilla. That was your bit, right? Wasn't that your
bit? That was my bit. Yeah. That was the exact line.
What'd you tell the guy in, was it Ohio? You're like, El Pollo Loco or something like that.
The only one that constantly gets quoted back to me is Esta noche somos mantequilla. Which I think said, which loosely translates to, you know, tonight begins our quest. Something, you know, it was like something like that. Funny.
Hey, so these headlines, by the way, are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Aaron Rodgers will not suit up in the preseason at all, Hawk. I know we kind of discussed this over the past couple weeks. Will he get some sort of reps in the preseason? And Robert Saleh, he said today he's not going to play in the preseason finale for the Jets. They play the Giants this weekend, which means his first game action since tearing his Achilles last year on Monday Night Football, week one, four snaps into the game, will be week one, Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers.
I mean, this is one of those, you know, books where you kind of pick your own outcome here. Like, we're all going to play the result. If he's great, of course it made sense not to give him any snaps in the preseason. He's Aaron Rodgers. If he stinks, gets injured again, that's why you give somebody some reps in the preseason. Like, this one's going to get played as the result. I don't care who the host is. Colin Cowherd, Chris Broussard, everyone is going to play the result on this.
Can't wait, because I will as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, Bo Nix named the Broncos starting quarterback. He beat out, do you remember who he beat out?
I don't. I really don't.
Yeah, not as easy when you don't have the list in front of you, huh, Jack?
I really don't.
And it's not Jacoby Brissett before you you make that guess. He beat out.
Let me think. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy they drafted like 8 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Drew Lock?
Yeah, Drew Lock.
Yeah, Drew Lock. But no, he's not on that team.
Okay. De'Eric King.
He beat Who out was it? Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson.
Oh. All right.
Jared Stidham.
Interesting.
Remember, Jared Stidham was put in place of Russell Wilson last year. Remember, Sean Payton had had enough of Russell Wilson, and
yeah,
he yanked them towards the end of the year because they were trying to lose games, and
right,
Russ was actually starting to make the team play a little bit better, so they put in Jared Stidham. Anyways, tonight you get two preseason games, Bengals-Colts, Chiefs-Bears.
Okay, all right.
I doubt we'll see Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, by the way. Highly doubt it.
Will we see Caleb Williams?
Hmm. It's a good question. We'll do a little digging, see if there's any reports.
What the line is. Bears are 1.5-point favorites in KC. Game props. Yeah, see, it's just game props. It's not player props. I don't know. I'll have to find out. Let me reach out to Eberflus. You know, check his Twitter.
Right. Or, of course, as Crowder referred to him yesterday, as Fleber Boobin.
Right, Fleber Boobin.
The Marlins did lose to the Diamondbacks yesterday. They are off today. I want to get to two stories later on today, Hawk, hopefully when Crowder connects, and we're kind of up against it now, but Noah Lyles has kind of set the terms, his terms, for what a race versus Tyreek Hill would look like. And
wouldn't it just look like a race?
Correct. Yes, that is what it would look like. But
we kind of know what a 40-yard dash looks like. Well, there's gonna what are they have to stop and tie shoes.
So like you haven't read the story then, right? You haven't read the story.
No, I haven't. That's why I'm surprised that there's terms to the race.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to do it first of all for a significant amount of money, and he wants to do it on a track, not on a field, and he specifically wants to run 100 meters, not a 40-yard dash.
Interesting.
Unless the 40-yard dash translates to 100 meters, because I'm not certain of. But I don't believe it is. I don't believe it
Jimmy,
is.
Jimmy, I'm going to give you one more chance to say that shirt is orange. And if you know what's good for you, you're going to.
It's a little bit of orange.
Thank you. Thank you. You get to keep picking the music.
Yeah, but you're dunzo on the 305 alarm today, buddy. You're coming up with it yourself. We'll dive into that later. And then, for whatever reason, flag football continues to be at the forefront of, like, First Take and all these major talk shows on all the networks, because the captain of the U.S. flag football team, or the quarterback of the U.S. flag football team, has doubled down on his take about NFL players competing and representing the U.S. in 2028 in the Olympics when flag football is officially a sport, and he went a bit farther than I expected him to, which was to say he was better than Patrick Mahomes. So I want to get to those stories a little later.
Okay, Cap. 100 meters, by the way, is 109 yards. So it's almost like it's more than 240s.
Yeah.
Like 2.5 40s.
I'm taking Noah Lyles by like 3 seconds.
I mean, he's going to crush him.
Yeah.
But that's why he wants to do it on a regular track. It's what I said earlier. Unless you're a real track star, you don't know how to get out of the blocks the way that an Olympian does.
I mean, Tyreek could train, though, right? He could.
Sure.
And I mean, he's one of the greatest athletes
I've
ever seen.
He's fast. I'm not saying that it's going to be Crowder out there, but no Lyle's going to beat him.
We'll give Crowder a 100 meter start see if he can compete. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Very cloudy. Been raining in El Portal. Again, I saw Clay Ferrero with a very funny tweet earlier. He said the weather right now in Broward is perfect for a Stanley Cup parade.
It is reminiscent of that.
That is your weather.
Josh Appel will join us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
There's no losing, only learning. There's no failure, only opportunities. And there's no problems, only solutions.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our guy Josh Appel is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's the public address announcer for the Miami Marlins at Lone Depot Park. Hosts a show on the radio. I don't know if you've ever heard it on WQAM, but when the Hockman and Crowder show is gone, it becomes the Josh Appel show. And you'll hear all kinds of opinions and guests from Adam Beasley to Drew Carey, whatever the guy's name is. Got his name.
I mean, if I could book Drew Carey as a fill-in host on an AM,
I almost
radio
went Drew Rosenhaus. what's your friend's name?
Drew Carter.
Drew Carter. I mean, it's a myriad of sports guests. He's also a radio play-by-play broadcaster for Sports USA. Does NFL games during the NFL season. And speaking of Josh, Dolphins wrap up the preseason tomorrow night in Tampa, where you went to college, by the way. USF is a proud Bull. Did anything happen? We talked about this yesterday. Anything happened during training camp or the first two preseason games that make you think anything differently about the Dolphins that you thought about them going into the season? Like, training camp starts, you have an idea of what you think the Dolphins might be, and now training camp is over and you've seen two preseason games. Is there anything that, you know, made you change an opinion about them in any arena?
Not necessarily. The last time we talked about this, and I was concerned about the offensive line being a sieve like they happen to be every year.
That's a good callback, as we say in comedy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You'll never use sieve again unless it's in a comedic form like that. You'll always say sieve. You learned your lesson.
Absolutely. So I'm hoping.
What did you say the other day, Solana?
Oh, I said me or Solana?
No, Solana. Solana, what did you say on the show the other day?
No, I don't think I said anything.
Yes. What did you say on the show the other day?
I said whilst instead of whilst.
Oh, whilst.
I mean, when I filled it on Friday, I used ether instead of ether as well.
That's reminiscent of Shit Night and Suge Night, brother.
Yeah, well, whatever. I guess.
Oh, you're saying he ethered him?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No. I said something into the ether, but something into the ether. Threw
something
it
into
the
ether. It's the ether. All right. Well, sieve is sieve, ether's ether, and whilst is whilst. We like to learn things on this show.
Right. So whilst training camp was going on, I was hoping that we would get a good look at Aaron Brewer, trying to figure out what they're going to do at center. We saw last year how important that position is for the timing of this offense. And people might overlook that and think that's, you know, that the guy snaps the ball. How important can he be? But in an offense that's predicated on timing, precision, going from Connor Williams to Liam Eichenberg last year, who struggled at times, you at times noticed a difference there, and we haven't gotten to see a lot of Aaron Brewer at center at all during camp because of his hand injury. So that's a minor concern, but overall, I feel the same way about them now that I did going into it. River Craycraft getting hurt in the last game obviously is not positive news considering where they are with Odell Beckham. You felt really good about the receiver room depth going into camp. Now there's a little more uncertainty after Waddle and Tyreek. But overall, I mean, I still think they're better on paper defensively than they were last year, aside from the loss of Christian Wilkins. I think they got better at linebacker, and they got better in the secondary. So overall, to answer your question, I feel about the same now as I did going into camp.
Because Solana brought up yesterday, ESPN bet has the the odds to win the AFC East, and it's the Bills as the favorite, the Jets, and then the Dolphins. And I get it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best to ever do it. But man, I don't feel like the Jets are the second best team in the AFC East. If you had to seed it right now, how do you seed it?
I think the Dolphins win the division this year. I think the Bills second and the Jets third. But I think they have a really good shot at getting three teams from the division in the playoffs regardless. Obviously, it depends on how healthy Aaron Rodgers is. I'm still skeptical of what a 40-year-old coming off of an Achilles injury will look like this season. In Buffalo, we know what they've lost on both sides of the ball. That receiver room is a shell of what it was. So I think the Dolphins are the most well-rounded team out of the four in the AFC East right now. I was listening yesterday during that segment. The odds are pretty neck and neck. Like, there's not a big discrepancy. So they're basically saying it's a toss-up. But for me, the value there is on the Dolphins.
Yes, I'm with you. But if you look at the Jets, I'm just can I just
Who
jump in?
Who the hell is that?
Can I just jump in like nothing happened?
Who is that?
The whole time.
Like John Facenda, the voice of God.
Yeah, I was at the Houston Texans facility.
Did you stop at Whataburger?
No, I just got here this morning, went straight there, and then I have to – the Rams, they're having a joint practice, the Texans and the Rams today. So,
but you're in Houston, so if you can stop at only one place, Whataburger or Papa Doe, which is the spot?
Papa Doe for sure.
Interesting. Have you heard about the spicy ketchup at Whataburger?
You know what? I can order it Uber Eats.
Yeah, but that's not like being there.
Oh, Lord. Solana.
Feel like
on your side. Can I order Whataburger?
No, because you've been to Whataburger, so yeah. You can Uber Eats it in. Solana's never been there, so he's never been there, even though he had it delivered to Uber Eats.
I love Whataburger, Crowder. You should definitely Uber Eats it.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just get Wingstop, a Houston favorite.
Bone out wings?
No. You can get that anywhere.
Out. There's no such thing as bone out wings.
Yeah, there is.
Papa Doe. Why don't you get Papa Doe?
Call Saucy Nugs. I won't have a chance because I have to do the Rams today at like 5:30, 5:45, and then my flight's at like 7.
Mm.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Papa Doe at the airport, though? Oh, that was the Dallas airport. I don't know about
Dallas.
Houston.
What is Houston? Papa Doe?
Houston airport. You've never been to Papa Doe?
No.
Mm.
Josh,
seafood, baby.
Being.
Well, I don't know if Appel eats seafood.
I eat fish.
You do? Appel, seeing the consistency of your body over the years, you would love Papa Doe.
A lot of butter. A lot of butter in their preparation.
They don't hold back on the butter and the seasoning.
not sure I quite understand what you're getting at there.
That you're a substantial man.
You're a big fella.
Yeah.
A Bella.
Yep.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Anyway, what were you saying, Crowder?
It's funny. I chimed in like 10 seconds to go on whatever, but when you were talking about the Jets and the Dolphins, I just answered this question with somebody about the AFC East where it's like, if Aaron Rodgers, to your point, if a 40-year-old off of Achilles injury is what we're used to Aaron, if I would say that Sauce is a little better than Jalen, Garrett Wilson's right there. Breece Hall is better than our running backs.
Sauce is like, better than Jalen or younger than Jalen?
Sauce is better than Jalen.
Okay.
Like point for point, Quentin Williams, it might be the best defensive tackle in the NFL. Like, they have the Jets have a damn roster. Last year, they were winning games with the little Wilson boys, little Zach. My son's better than him.
But it hinges. I think everyone's in agreement, though. The Jets hinge on Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yes. Oh, if Aaron goes down, they're in shambles again. But if Aaron's healthy, that's my fear. I've said it. I'm not worried about Buffalo anymore. Buffalo's going to be very good. I think their defense took a big hit this year. Hell, Justin Poyer's on our team. I am really worried about the Jets. I know y'all heard me say that a number of times.
What about injuries, Appel? We're talking about injuries to Aaron Rodgers and to the Jets. But are you concerned, especially on the defensive side, aside from Chubb and JP, because I brought this up to Crowder yesterday, like we knew those coming in. But I mean, Ramsey, Poyer, Javon Holland, for some time, Kendall Fuller. Like, there's a bunch of guys
on
the defense and Odell that I'm not saying if they're healthy, they won't be great because we know they will. But new defensive coordinator for the third straight year, new scheme on that end, and you barely have any reps from really your best players, and you're already missing two of your best players up front.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe the defense gets off to a little bit of a slow start at the beginning because of that. But at the same time, I think that if these injuries were something, if these happened during the regular season, I don't think they're missing time like this. I think they're probably all playing through whatever is ailing them. You know, Poyer was a thumb injury. Like, the guy's been through a ton in his career. I'm pretty sure he played with like a lacerated spleen once, where he had the drive to a road game with the Bills. Like, the guy will play through whatever. I would imagine we would know if they were more serious, that they're just kind of holding him out as a precaution, because at the end of the day, like, you don't want to make things worse on days where, yeah, they matter as far as preparation, but like, you just want him to be healthy when the games count and the reps count, you know? So
can you extrapolate that though to Aaron Rodgers? We were having this conversation. Aaron Rodgers gonna have gone through the preseason without taking a snap, right? So he took what, 4 snaps last season?
Yeah.
And then
And a jog with a flag.
They say maybe this time he'll just run in with like one of those little flags that they give, like, you know, new citizens, like maybe too heavy on the last one and caused a little,
put a little too much little stress flag. on the old Achilles before that.
Maybe like an umbrella that you get in a pina colada and a flag. Just look very light on the props. Hey, light on the props, A-Raj. Anyway, can you extrapolate being cautious with Aaron Rodgers? Because I said to Solana, we're going to play the result on this, whatever it is. If he gets injured or is, I don't know, rusty, everyone is going to say he should have gotten some preseason time. And again, I'm not looking at him like a Lamar Jackson or something, because he missed all of last season. So you think it's wise or unwise that he doesn't take a preseason snap?
I don't think it's too big of an issue, because we see that a lot around the league with guys who are more experienced. Like the quarterbacks who are playing in the preseason for the most part are the ones that are rookies. Like a lot of the veterans, especially of Aaron Rodgers' caliber, they generally don't get a lot of snaps in the preseason anyways. I don't know if they've confirmed whether or not Tua is going to play tomorrow. But would you guys be surprised if the only time we see him in the preseason was the one drive at the beginning?
No, but that's what I think you need, that one drive.
Right, but like, if you're doing joint practices and you're simulating game scenarios, whether it's in a preseason game or in a joint practice, it's basically a scrimmage, you know, a glorified scrimmage either way. So as long as you're getting the reps there, I don't think it's too big of a deal. I think that if Rodgers gets off to a slow start, it'll be doubting whether he can come back from the injury, not really about how many reps they got in the preseason. I don't think that's really been a narrative in general in the NFL over the years, that if a team or a guy struggles out of the gate, that they blame it on lack of preseason time. Because we're going to get to a point where we're going to have only 2 preseason games and then maybe 1 preseason game, and that won't even be an issue to begin with.
College doesn't have any.
Right.
Hey, Josh, and it's something that we're very torn on this show. Did you see the Flores, Tua stuff, Tua's yeah. and the whole thing about Flores, and Flores responded? My thought is that, like, I look at Tua funny. I'm like, why the hell would you let another grown man, with you being a grown man, affect what you can do in your career? Like, oh, he doesn't give me the confidence I need. Be confident, bitch. Like, my thought is
that
way
guy's responsible for your career.
No, he's right. Not. You're
yes,
responsible.
He is.
Hawk, you're responsible
that
for your career.
That guy literally makes the decision on your career.
No. Josh?
I see what you're saying, but, like, this isn't – if he played for some Joe Schmo in college who wasn't known for being one of the biggest hard-asses in the profession, and Nick Saban, then maybe I could see, like – it seems like the way that Flores approached it was like a different level of being a hard ass. It didn't seem constructive what he was doing. Like, if you're texting a player the day before a game or the morning of a game and telling him he sucks, like, that's not being a hard ass. That's just being an a-hole.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And yes, when Tua gets the opportunity, it's up to him to take advantage of it. But I think Hawk, one of you brought it up during this conversation earlier this week. There were instances where Tua would start a game and he'd get pulled in the middle of it.
At Denver Ryan, game.
Like, that's not how you develop
a Denver game. He was within a touchdown.
You already have the pressure.
10-0. That's the one game where, like, I looked at Flores funny. You're down by 10 at halftime.
10-3? I thought it was 10-3. Maybe
it was 10-0, and he pulled. I'm like, 10 points can be scored in 92 seconds in the NFL. That's the one that got me hot with Flores.
And like, you look at what he had around him. I remember calling the Chiefs-Dolphins game down here towards the end of, I don't know if it was his rookie season or his second season. But I remember it was like Lynn Bowden running around out there and Isaiah Ford. And they had signed, like, I think his name was Malik Washington to be the running back in this game. And we've obviously gone through the conversation of Chan Gailey the first year, two offensive coordinators the second year. Everything possible that you could do to ruin a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback, they figure out a way to do. And despite all of that, if you look at the numbers from Tua's first two seasons, pretty respectable given all the circumstances that he had to deal with. I was surprised that Flores responded to it the way that he did. I thought he would just do what McDaniel did, was, you know, that happened a couple of years ago. I'm not really worried about it right now. I'm focused on, you know, getting the Vikings ready for this year.
He knows he was wrong. Right. He watches Tua last season. He's like, I was wrong.
I not that he needs my respect, but I gained a lot of respect for Flores coming out publicly and owning up to it and basically saying, I probably could have handled it better.
No respect at all.
Ridiculous. And I don't blame Tua either. I'm glad that Tua feels comfortable enough now.
That's what I thought was actually the best part of the story, was that Tua was empowered enough to say, you know what, this guy that I've shut my mouth about for the last 2 years, I'm going to tell you exactly what transpired and let him deal with the fallout.
Yeah, I love that he's that type of player now. He is a completely he's a shell of what he was when Flores was here. He's a completely different person and a better player. And look, Flores is, I don't think anybody would argue that he got the most out of the rosters that he had here, and he's a fantastic defensive mind. But some guys are just better at that than overseeing and running an entire team. And maybe Flores gets another shot and learns from this experience here, but I mean, it was a pretty big indictment on him that not only was he trying to, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, sabotage Tua, but he was out here advocating for Deshaun Watson publicly, like every day at every press conference. Like I remember experiencing that in real time, and it just like blew my mind, like just consistently throwing the guy you have under the bus. I get having interest at the time before everything else came out.
Like, there's tough love. I get it. That's not tough love.
100%. He played for Nick Saban.
But on the other side, you got to pull your meat out sometimes.
Nah.
Say, hey, I'm a grown man.
And Tua should text him right now, you suck. And that's it. And then block him.
I'm a grown man, too. We're both grown men. We're married with kids.
Right. But you're the guy that makes the determination of whether I get to play in my chosen profession. Like, it's you. You're the guy. So it's not an equal relationship, which is why you have to make sure that a coach does the right thing for right personalities. It may have worked on someone different. I understand what you're saying about Tua's personality, because that style may have worked on someone different. There's someone else who may, after it's all said and done, say, you know what? My head coach texting me that I suck motivated me to not suck. Didn't work on Tua.
Well,
it's up to you as a coach to know your personnel.
It's kind of what Josh just said. X and O's are X and O's. Personality management, I think, is a big part of being a head coach.
Yeah.
And I think you heard from Andrew Van Ginkel yesterday talking about how much Flo means to him. There are going to be guys, especially on defense, who probably have a much different view of Flores than a guy like Tua does. And, like, again, when you're a head coach and you draft a quarterback in the first round of the top five, forget if you're an offensive guy or a defensive guy. Your main job as a head coach in that spot is to do everything you can to make sure that your rookie quarterback succeeds. And it feels like he did the opposite of that for 2 years with Tua Tagovailoa. It really did.
All right. There you go. Josh Appel, ladies and gentlemen. Josh, we appreciate your time. We love you. And go Marlins.
I love you guys too. And go Marlins.
That's very nice. That's very nice. You don't suck.
I won't suck.
Well, you don't suck. That was my. Yeah. No. It's, all right.
Oh, because Flores to Tua and the Tech.
You see?
I got it.
All right. Let's take a break. Come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Butt punt.
Hock and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.